Where are you at? We're hanging out at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Guys, it's Friday. We got a lot to chop up. Mike, I saw you at the bar talking to a bunch of guys. A guy named Carl. Great name, by the way.
Right. It's kind of like, I'm not going to say what business they're in case they got to go do a sales call later. People are like, I heard you guys are hammered at Twin Peaks. I don't really put their business out there. But they're in customer service.
Okay.
And it's we'll call them Carl and Rob. Anyway, and they're just talking about the show. And, you know, we're talking about these guys are buddies. And we're talking about how cool it is when you work with people that you like. You know, because so many people work with people they don't like.
It helps.
And it was funny. And I was hearing some stuff about office politics and this and that. And I'm laughing. I go, everybody's got it. Everybody's got it. So we're just having a good combo. And he does prove, believe it or not, on a Friday, in the spirit of teamwork, there are nice people from New Orleans.
What? Whoa. You had me all the way up into the New Orleans thing.
I'm just saying.
And he's, New Orleans.
And he's in the same part of soggy, smelly part of New Orleans as Trustee Gentilly.
All right, man.
So that musty smell, that's where he's from.
Look, we can go ahead and be friends, I guess, man. You know? Huh? My man. Carl, good to have you out here, man.
And brother, we were saying, and this is something I think we know here in the South, especially in Atlanta, is what a great rivalry the Saints and the Falcons is. Ball busting, whether we're winning or losing or one team is good or bad, it always is a great vibe here or there. And I think it still beats and trumps the Packers and the Bears. More on the Bears, by the way, coming up in 4th-and-1.
Yeah.
More news on where they'd be moving to. I still think it's just a power play.
I do, too.
Just leverage.
It's completely unfortunate if it does play out that way. We do have a big show, guys. Our man B-Mac, Brian McFadden's going to join us to talk all things NFL. OTAs continue for the Falcons next week. And then we've got mandatory minicamp. We'll get into all the latest news around the league. Our buddy Sam Mitchell, man, apparently he's got a beef with us.
Uh-oh.
NBA Sirius, XM, NBA Sirius Satellite Radio. He's been doing all this stuff on the finals, man. He's going to stop by. We get ready for game 2 tonight. Must win, Mike, for the Spurs. Must win.
Yeah, and we were just talking at the bar. That's how the conversation started about game 1. I thought Wemby and Gordon G. Money, our engineer, said he, and a lot of folks agree, you know, Wemby looks gassed coming off a 7-game series. But the fact that Knicks, you have Wemby on the bench and you go on an 11-3 run and you still can't find a way to beat the Knicks, I thought Wemby's shot selection, it was almost like he was just relying on the three as opposed to using the physicality to take it inside. I think he's got to have more high percentage shooting, certainly because everybody else in that team can match up with everybody else on the Knicks.
No doubt. I mean, look, the thing is, I think just San Antonio's been better than everybody else right now, and then they finally got to a team where there's got to be some real adjustments for Mitch Johnson. Talked about it yesterday a little bit. Mm. I blame the coach. Mike, the Harper kid was legit. He's going off. And you got DeAndre or De'Aaron Fox in the game, and he's playing terrible.
Yeah, he can't do anything for you.
And so, you know, we'll see tonight. But we'll talk to Sam. He's going to join us at 3. Our buddy Steve Coonan, Hawk CEO, going to join us at 4, guys, and plenty about the Braves. By the way, what was up with the Braves last night?
It was a weird night. I got to be honest. Once I saw them get down, when the Sale kind of had the big inning where things got a little sideways, and they weren't really, you know, hitting last night. They just kind of left some guys on base, too. But I was over to the NBA, and I watched the highlights. It's just, you know, look, the good news is you're winning the series. Unless you're that one guy who listens to us in Charlotte, when are we going to get a 10-game win streak? Who cares? You're winning every series. You win every series, you win the division. And you're the number one seed in the NL. Right now we're still higher than the Dodgers. But, yeah, last night, just for all the things that Chris Sale has done, he's had some nights where they haven't supported him. And there's some nights where he's been a little bit off. But, hey, the good news, you still took another series. And I thought what you guys spoke about it yesterday. Grant Holmes did a nice job.
No, he did.
And I'm always worried about his starts more than anybody's.
Fair. And look, I mean, it's funny because every time we've had opportunities to sweep, we really haven't done that. We've been winning a bunch of series, but it's weird to close out series with a sweep. Either way, we'll take it. We'll move on. Pirates come in here, and it'll be a fun weekend at Truist Park. Plenty on the Braves as we get rolling here at Twin Peaks. Now, we will tell you, we're here. Come on out and join us. We'd love to see you. But tonight, Mike, we do get a chance to celebrate and want to give a big shout out to all of our listeners who did participate, register, wanted to come have dinner and hang out for our Father's Day promotion, which we'll do tonight. So all of your favorite personalities will be here from 92.9 The Game, and it should be a fun time, man. The last few years, we've had a really good time meeting all the new folks, and every year it's something different, new people, and that's really cool, just showing you the diversity of our listening base and how many people tune in and want to be a part of this radio station.
And then later on, for folks that are really into the Civil War, me and Abe Gordon's dad We're going to do a whole series. We've got maps and troop movements, and we're going to basically explain the Union Army's movement from Chickamauga down to the Battle of Atlanta after they reset at Chattanooga. So, for those who don't know, Abe's dad and I, we talk about it all the time. We get these big historical conversations, get to meet some of the dads. So, it's a lot of fun, man. We always appreciate the best listeners in town, and thanks to James and his staff because we got a really cool room set up for tonight.
No doubt. All right, 404-726-0929. Everything's on the board for you, by the way. If you want to join in, you can. All right, open lines, 404-726-0929. You want to talk about anything that's been going on, you are more than welcome to join us today. We'll take plenty of phone calls as it is a Friday here in Twin Peaks. Here's what's interesting. Our executive producer, Day-Day, is back at the studio today because Big O's off. He'll be up here tonight, by the way, if you want to get a chance to meet Day-Day.
Vacation's important, and you must take it. And one of our guys will take all of that vacation.
Well, he's definitely taking it. But Day-Day said to us today, he feels like the Falcons really trust that Kyle Pitts is going to take the next step. And before we get to BMAC coming up here in about less than 10 minutes, Mike, do you trust Kyle Pitts as much as it seems like the Falcons do?
Yeah, I mean, I like the way it was handled. I don't think there's a Falcon fan out there that could disagree with it. Now, again, if you're a really big Pitts supporter and you say, look, he had two buster quarterbacks and some of this isn't his fault, I think, Pitts has been a mixed bag. We discussed this at length, guys. I think he shows you enough promise, and statistically, he was one of the top three tight ends in the NFL by any measurable, right?
Right.
So you bring him back, but you don't reward him with a contract because there's been a couple of years where he wasn't good, when he was, unhealthy, and sometimes the effort wasn't there, it seemed, as a fan. So you keep the guy, and you could always franchise tag him. Good to meet you guys, man. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you, guys.
And if he kicks ass, you maybe even re-sign him.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you.
But the worst case would have been him going off this year and literally going off for another team. And then Falcon fans would go, there you go. So I thought they handled it perfectly with the one-year franchise. I mean, it's franchise tag. It's 1 year. Tagging him. I expect him in this offense, as Stefanski, to do a lot better things.
Yeah, I do too. Kyle Pitts sees the positive in being tagged by the Falcons. He's not been complaining about it. A lot of guys get tagged and they and you hear all the conversation.
Just don't get hurt.
Well, he's
not. That's the risk.
He's not complaining about it, and he says it's a blessing. This is from Kyle Pitts talking about being tagged, and he says we'll go out and test the market. To see whatever is going on, but you just have to trust that we see something in you, and it's pretty cool to see. He's talking about the Falcons believing in him,
right,
tagging him, and allowing him to come back and kind of proving it. So, look, it's a new year. He says he's not worried about it. I do think, like with anything, the last few years, Mike and I have been saying it's a contract year for Kyle Pitts. Okay, well, listen, he was already under his rookie deal. It didn't matter. They weren't going to move on from him, okay? Even after Arthur Smith left, Ra wasn't coming in here. We thought, hey, maybe they'll do something. They didn't do anything, and now we've got a new regime who says we'll pick up your fifth-year option, and they did. Tagged him. So, I don't know what my confidence level is as far as Kyle Pitts, because that, to me, Mike, relates to productivity. When I tell you I have confidence in somebody, and I'll give you an example, I got all the confidence in the world in Bijan Robinson.
Right.
I know he's going to be productive. He may lead the league in total yards. He'll be one of the, 80 receptions kind of guy. But when you talk about Pitts, that trust level has been hit or miss simply because of the things you mentioned. Injuries, quarterback play. Last year, you want me to buy in and believe that he's going to be as productive or better, but I got to wait and see. That's where my trust level is right now with him.
There's some things with Zach Robinson last year. Now, again, Zach's gone. We got a guy that knows how to get the tight end involved. And even with all the screw-ups and the bad quarterback play or inconsistent quarterback play, Pitts still had a really good statistical year. The red zone. He was – when we drafted him, we thought he's going to be a 10-touchdown guy.
Yes.
He's going to be right up there with Kittle and Kelsey in his prime, that this guy's going to be that elite dude who's going to be a red zone god for the Falcons. And that's just not happened. But this year, I do believe the best thing for Kyle Pitts, and I got to be honest, is if Tua wins the job. Because Tua will get him the ball. And we don't know where he and Penix Jr., there's some, unless they can get Penix more accurate as part of the process. But I think the best thing for Pitts is if Tua gets the gig. Now, I'm not trying to trigger Penix fans this early into the show, but stand by that.
Too late.
I'll stand by that. You feel me on that?
I do. I absolutely do. Do you guys at 404-726-0929? Kyle Pitts, again, in being tagged by the Falcons, says it's a blessing to be able to get that year and them not say, hey, we're going to let you test the market. He's basically saying they could have done that. They didn't. They believe in him. How much do you believe in him? And I think, Mike, this is a big question because – I go back 2 years ago when I said, this guy's the key to the offense. I was being about it. You know the word I want to use. He's the key to the offense. If he can do the things we expect him to do, this offense changes, right?
You have to account for him.
Yes.
Opens things up for the wide receivers, the stuff underneath. I mean, it all got to work together. We talked about years ago, well, this will be this, and we'll have these mismatches, and it never works.
Never worked.
Because Darnell Mooney can't stay on the field. He starts the season hurt. Drake got banged up a lot. You know, Ray got cut. You know, just there was a lot of dysfunction in that offense last year.
All right, man. More on this to come as we'll discuss Falcons and much more with BMAC, Bryant McFadden, CBS NFL analyst. He is on the way. Also, we will dive deeper into the NBA Finals Game 2. Tip tonight is 8:30, by the way. Spurs, 6.5-point favorite.
Six and a half.
Six Woo! And a half.
Man.
That's a lot.
Oh, I told Carl.
That's a lot.
I won some big loot NHL Game 1. And I gave half of it back last night. Oh, that overtime goal.
That was heartbreaking.
Oh, what a stupid penalty. And the by the way, if you didn't see it, the Knights, their best defenseman, took it right in the face. And NHL players are tough, but there's some things you're going to need a couple days to get right from. But we'll talk about that later when we look at the headlines. But, yeah, man, it's been both finals have been just one so far in the NBA, but both the NHL games, 1 and 2, have been electrifying.
They really have, Mike. And look, last night when Carolina went up again –
Yeah.
The Vegas went up 2-0, and I was like, oh, this is going to be over. Look, Carolina, give them a lot of credit. They fought back. We will dive into that. Also, there is a big story that we do need to talk about that may affect our city. And we are just a few weeks away from the World Cup. Mike and I will dive into this because I think there are varying reasons why this problem, and right now it is looming, okay? We will talk about that. As well. All right, Big Friday show for you here at Twin Peaks, guys. Come on through. Yeah. Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We would love to see you. BMAC's going to join us next. His thoughts on the Falcons and all the things that went down this week. What about this big trade? Miles Garrett going to the Rams. Are they automatically the Super Bowl favorite in BMAC's mind? Find out next. It is Dukes and Bell. Let's talk to our man, BMAC, Bryant McFadden, CBS NFL analyst, two-time Super Bowl champion on the Sweet James Accident Attorneys Hotline. And BMAC, man, it's always good to talk with you. Happy Friday, brother. The trade this week had the NFL buzzing, and I want to get your take on it because a lot of people are automatically putting the Rams in the Super Bowl with the addition of Miles Garrett. How do you see this playing out for the Rams? And, look, we know they've gone all in before. But is this now the best team in the NFC?
No question. Yeah. Personnel-wise, I think, guys, we all would agree the issue for the Rams a year ago, the two issues, was special teams and defense, primarily the secondary play. So throughout free agency, if you go back and you retract their steps, they improved the secondary mightily. Trent McDuffie, a very versatile defensive back, former Pro Bowler, All-Pro. Then they went out also and got his teammate in Jalen Watson, who started in Kansas City secondary last year. So that instantly improved the secondary play, personnel-wise. And then you go out and get the best professional sacker in this era of NFL football. Surprisingly, that's the most important thing that we got to dissect. No one saw this happening, especially outsiders that are not tied to the organization out there in Los Angeles. Because offensively, we know what they're going to do. We know they will be a consistent group as long as they're healthy. But just making the defense better, they did so already via free agency, but they instantly became a much better unit when they brought in Miles Garrett. So before Miles Garrett became a Rams, guys, we felt like they were a championship-caliber team without Miles Garrett. Now Miles Garrett is there. You have to like their chances of being the favorites to get to a championship and, most importantly, win it.
So our man Bryant McFadden, guys, talking about the Rams. And we always, you know less need from our experience here as assistant to Thomas Dimitroff. But we always say, B, it's one of those top organizations that has their own way of doing things. Hell, they've had like two top first-round picks in the last like 12 years. You know, they really just find a way to get it done. So you certainly, barring injury with Matthew Stafford, you know, you got to feel that Ty Simpson's going to watch for a couple years. What do you think, 2 more years for Matthew Stafford?
No question. I think best-case scenario, Carl, Mike, is 2 more years. right? Best case scenario. Worst case scenario, this could be his final hoorah. But the thing is, too, now, guys, when you really look at and dissect what the Rams did during the draft, when they drafted Ty Simpson, it confused all of us. Remember, we talked about why wouldn't they go select a player that can help them now? Well, I think they already had this plan in place to go out and try to go get a guy like Myles Garrett, because obviously they knew they would not have a first-round pick in 2027 to go get a quarterback of the future. So now everything the Rams have done, if you go back and you look at the Ty Simpson draft pick, it was a calculated move that they only knew and understood why they did what they did. So like you said, if this is a two-year situation for Matthew Stafford, if you're Ty Simpson, you love it. You love it. You soak up game from one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League along with one of the best play callers in Sean McVay, and you're not forced into action when you're not ready to be out there. So they're just setting themselves up, setting themselves up very, very nicely, not just for the current time, but for the future time as well.
Let's talk about our guy Drake London getting his contract extension being announced this week. It's Brian McFadden joining us here on Dukes and Bell. And look, I think most Falcon fans just kind of shrug their shoulders, not in a negative way, but like this is expected. We wouldn't expect anything less from the Falcons than to take care of Drake. Here's the question. Third overall annual average when you talk about where this hits. Is he a top five receiver in this league?
Not just yet. NEB? Yes. Top five right now? No. But the market is the market. And when you look at Drake London right now and how he has ascended in the Falcons organization, you're paying him for what he is about to do, in my opinion, because the best is yet to come, especially when you get stability at the quarterback position and you have stability within the offense. So this is the going rate for wide receivers, wide receiver one that has a high upside. So I don't have an issue with what Drake received. I'm glad they got the deal done, because now everything shifts financially to Bijan Robinson, because we know what he means to their offense. And you look at the running back position, a la Saquon Barkley, who is receiving around $20 million per year annually at that position. If you're Atlanta, now you need to start figuring out, when are we going to get this deal done? Because if you allow Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back for Detroit, to sign before Bijan, he is going to reset the market. And now you have another contract that you have to try to get over instead of just having the one contract right now in Saquon Barkley.
Speaking of contracts, I want to talk about what happens with A.J. Brown going up to the New England. But just saw Baker Mayfield's not happy with his contract negotiations in Tampa. How much of a distraction has that become? Because you could argue that maybe they missed a window last year and losing Mike Evans. I know they've got a really good draft and they added some free agents. But what is that? How does that affect? It's one thing for a major guy, but when you're the quarterback, that is the star player on the team when he's got a beef.
Yeah, and Baker, has really exceeded the expectations the last few seasons there in Tampa. And you guys know with the divisional business the Atlanta Falcons have with Tampa being in the same division, Baker Mayfield is the reason why Dave Canales is the coach for the Carolina Panthers. Baker Mayfield is the reason why Lim Cohen is the coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Because with Baker Mayfield, they became hot commodities in the coaching neighborhood. Now, if you look at a year ago, we saw a dip in production for whatever reason. I feel like Baker wasn't healthy, especially that shoulder ailment that he dealt with early in the year. He never got over that. But based on everything he's done since being at Tampa Bay Buccaneers, following the footsteps of the GOAT Tom Brady, he's almost kind of made them not really forget miss Tom Brady. If you kind of think about what he's done. So, yes, he should be in that market of getting a new deal. We just saw Matthew Stafford get a good a new extension on the heels of winning the MVP. But if you're Baker Mayfield, you can't tell me he's not deserving of seeing some type of raise. Now, will it be a $60 million annual deal like a Dak Prescott? I'm not saying that. But in terms of seeing something, no question I think he's deserving of that.
Josh Allen is going into another year where obviously the expectations are off the charts. Everybody says Super Bowl or bust. They're opening a new stadium, which looks incredible. But they're also, for him, it's a new offense, right? New coach. And now, you know, at what point I'm wondering, like, do you feel like their window is closed? Do you still feel like the Bills are that contender? Or are we at the tail end of this now? Because it feels like for the last 5 years, they should have gotten a one.
I agree. I think last year was more disappointing than any other year with the Bills when you lose to the Denver Broncos and how you lost to the Denver Broncos, in my opinion. And what made it even worse was the team that represented the AFC in the Super Bowl is a divisional foe that you face off against in the New England Patriots with second-year quarterback Drake May. So last year was more, in my opinion, they missed their key opportunity. But the window is still open because you have Josh Allen. And even though Joe Brady, this will be his first year as the head coach, he's been a part of that organization for quite some time. So he understands the nuances of the personnel. And he understands, of course, how to navigate the roster because he has been around those guys. So the window is still open because if you had to rank the top four quarterbacks in the National Football League, you would never have a top four with Josh Allen not being involved in a top four, in my opinion. You should not. He is that type of player. Now it's about repeating what you did last year and just finding a way to get over the hurdle. That's been their biggest issue in terms of postseason success.
It's our man, Bryant McFadden, guys, NFL insider, two-time Super Bowl winner on the Sweet James Accident Attorney Hotline. A.J. Brown, now teaming up with Josh McDaniels and Drake May as a delivery system. Is he poised to have his best year in four seasons up in New England?
I think potentially. Now, this is about the maturation process with Drake May continuing to develop. You know, we saw a major leap for Drake May compared to year one to year two being in the MVP conversation in year two. Now, year three, we need to see that same thing from Drake May, continuing to develop and be that guy. And if Drake May is in his bag, no question A.J. Brown is going to be in his bag. A.J. Brown provides something to the New England Patriots offense they haven't had in quite some time. He's a heavyweight fighter at the wide receiver position. If you look at some of their wide receivers from a year ago, smaller guys, you know, shiftier guys. I understand they had Mac Hollins, but Mac Hollins has never been known to be a very, very physical presence. You know, that can go deep at any given time and separate in man-to-man coverages and things like that. That's who A.J. Brown is. He's an alpha, right? So now if you factor in also signing Romeo Dobbs from the Green Bay Packers, you know, right, mushroom head Dobbs. You know, he has that extra freaking mushroom on his helmet that I can't stand. But he's a heck of a wide receiver as well. So the wide receiver room collectively is better, and I think all of that will help A.J. Brown elevate his game to a level that we know he can go. AJ wasn't happy last year, the last few seasons in Philly. And you know the first telling sign that AJ was happy? The man got traded late Monday evening. Tuesday, he's on the grass practicing.
It's true.
Smiling. Right. I haven't seen AJ Brown smile that much probably in the last 3 years.
It's true.
And they admitted that him and Jalen Hurts, it just, they've grown apart.
Yes.
You saw it. Everybody knew it. Now we just said it.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. Like, it's one thing. Like, when you go get here, I'm already in the
he's
town.
He's already there. Like, yeah. It felt like he was already in New England before Monday and ready to go. I'm like, man, that's a telling sign, man. This man did not want to be in Philly no more. We know there was a gripe between the AJ and the quarterback, but man, he wanted to get away from Philly. And he got away.
Caleb Williams is on the cover of Madden 27. What kind of jump do you expect from him this upcoming season?
Big jump. Big jump. What we saw from Drake May last year being in that MVP conversation is what we should see from Caleb Williams in year two with Ben Johnson. And the reason why I'm saying that is if you had to rank just the best talented quarterbacks, I'm talking about just pure talent, arm talent, mobility, athleticism, clutch, you know, attribute, all of those things involved, right? If you had to rank those quarterbacks, I think Caleb Williams would be at the top. And now just the offensive structure they have in place, it's time for him to take off, man. It's time for him to take off. I think he could be in that MVP conversation this upcoming season. And if that's the case, they're going to win ball games. They're going to win ball games. And he has one of the best coaches in the National Football League in Ben Johnson. I love Ben Johnson. I love what he stands for. I love his ability to call plays and put his players in positions to be successful. So for Caleb, man, yeah, you got the Madden cover. It's a cold Madden cover, by the way. You know, the paying homage to MJ, that logo, yeah. The Jumpman logo,
right,
and the shivering image as well. Super dope. But now it's time for you to go ahead and put that same mindset on the football field for 17 weeks for the Bears.
Yeah, man, a lot of expectations with the guy. Now, again, first year, always a bust. Second year, gets the right coach. Now, it's all about the coaching, man.
Yeah.
And that gets us back to the Falcons. We started the conversation before you came on about Kyle Pitts. You know, I said it's better for Kyle Pitts if Tua wins the job because Penix and him weren't really on the same page. Whoever fault that was last year, new OC, of course. You buy that, though, Tua? If Tua wins this job, it's better for all the skill position guys?
I'm quite ready to say that I will buy that because we've never seen it. Now, we've seen Penix thrown to this cast, right, for the majority of the personnel offensively before. We've never seen Tua do it in a meaningful fashion. But one thing I can say, Mike, to your point, we did see a better Kyle Pitts when Kirk Cousins was in the lineup. How he ended the season played a major part in him getting that nice tag because he was balling. He was a fantasy miracle for a lot of fantasy owners that had him on their roster. So what led to his spark in production that we did not see throughout the entirety of the season, we don't know. But for Kyle Pitts, I think whoever the quarterback is, I know Drake London just got paid, but their passing game is more prolific when Kyle Pitts is involved because he is that type of athlete that he can set up matchup nightmares for whoever it is trying to defend him.
Yeah. B, we were talking about it before you came on. He was saying, Kyle Pitts, that he feels like the Falcons trust him by franchise tagging him and not allowing him to go test the market and basically say, yeah, we'll see where this is at. They believe in him, and so he's all about it. Hopefully he has an amazing year this year. Man, we hope you have an amazing weekend. Brother, thank you so much for stopping by.
Oh, man, always, man. Appreciate you guys.
That is Bryant McFadden here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Two-time Super Bowl champion. Mike and I are live at Twin Peaks. Look who's showing up, Mike.
It's the Hoff. Jerry, fresh back from his last trip to Medellin, is back in the States. He's past customs. And unfortunately, didn't bring back any mamacitas from Colombia.
Well, it's still early.
Colombia.
Still early.
Got him on ice down there. I got him on ice for you, Frank, okay?
Good to see you, Jerry.
Hey, man.
We were talking about you a couple of weeks ago. Stories were endless, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But.
He heard. Yeah.
He heard a little bit of it?
And for those who missed it last week, we'll do this in 30 seconds. Down in Costa Rica watching television, I find out one of my friends, unbeknownst to me, is now a judge in a Colombian beauty contest that's being aired all over Latin America.
Yeah, and, well, the legend grew from there.
And let's just say that he disappeared with a contestant, and it was quite a scandal.
Hey, man, coming up, daily downloads on the way. Braves lose to the Blue Jays, but they win the series. What about Dubon? This guy is hot.
Dubon.
NBA Finals Game 2 tonight, and Mike lost some money on the Stanley Cup Finals.
Friggin' refs.
It's Dukes and Bell. There is a lot going on this weekend. Obviously, NBA Finals front and center. But first, let's talk about the Braves and what's happening with our team. Because, Mike, we remain in first place. Even though we lost the game last night, we didn't sweep them. But we win the series. 7-2 was the final score. But Dubon, and we were, you know, talking about this all week, like how hot it seems he is.
Right.
How, you know, he's given opportunities in this lineup, and he's taken advantage of it. You said it. It was a weird start, I guess, for Chris Sale, who allowed 3 runs on 10 hits. That is not the normal Chris Sale.
No. And, look, I just think over the course of 30 starts, you're going to have a few clunkers. But we think, you know, Chris Sale's, you know, there's nothing mechanical. It's an off night. You know, and, again, it's a night where the Braves weren't hitting. So, and we also know that the Blue Jays, and I think they talked about it, Jeff Francoeur and Brandon Gaudin on the broadcast on Braves Vision. This is a really talented Blue Jays team that was in the World Series. It's just not hitting.
Yep.
And sooner or later, they're going to start figuring it out. And hopefully, you know, we're done with them now. But, yeah, for the most part, they couldn't get anything on track this series.
Let's hear the Dubon home run. This made it 3-2 Braves, by the way. And then they exploded late in this game.
This ball driven to left off the bat of Dubon.
Wiley with his shirt off, by the way, the tarps off thing, which is now going all around. Remember, that's I talked great. About it a few weeks ago. I saw little kids, the last Braves game I was at, little kids were doing it.
Yep.
Becky's like, why have they got their shirts off? It's a thing now. And everybody does it. They had Wiley doing it last night on TV.
No, it was great. He was dressed up. Look, he's doing a terrific job. The whole crew is. And Brandon Gaudin with the call there on Braves Vision. Meanwhile, Chris Sale, after the game, was talking about balancing his rest and staying sharp.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think there's some things that I might need to fine tune a little bit, because it still seems like there's times throughout the game where just command is gone and it's just almost impossible to find. But, you know, on the flip side of that, you get rewarded with a little bit better stuff and a little bit, you know, your body feels a little bit better and stuff like that. So, you know, you just kind of move the bars a little bit and you know, start tinkering here and there and just trying to fine tune and, you know, work more maybe this week on trying to find a little bit better command consistent.
I don't know two players in baseball more forthcoming than Spencer Strider or, in this case, yeah, Chris Sale after a loss. Mark Bowman, by the way, from MLB, just to follow up with what Chris said about the tweaks, he's thrown his fastball harder in his past two starts than he has in any start since the end of 2018.
Wow.
So, yeah, I guess it looks like there'll be some tweaking. And, again, you got a great pitching coach that is certainly, you know, the coaching staff that we've brought down from the Mets that we stole can probably figure this out. But Chris Sale telling you what's what.
Yeah, man, not the norm. He will be fine. I'm not worried or concerned as they get ready to start a new series tonight. Let's hear Walt Weiss, though, talking about how confident he is that Sale's going to figure it out.
Absolutely like what I'm seeing. I think, and look, he'll figure that out. If that's what he feels like he needs to do, he'll get it done. So, but I think the important thing is that he's his body's good, his arm is good, he feels fresh every time out. He's been 100 pitches plus a few times now, and still maintaining the velocity. So there's a lot of good things going on, and he'll figure that stuff out.
No doubt, Pirates tonight, guys, as the Braves get a weekend at home.
Martin Perez on the bump tonight.
Yeah, man, look, all these guys, Mike, that we kind of go, oh, what are we going to get? They've all kind of done their part. Strider on Saturday, and then it is Elder on Sunday for the Braves. Let's talk NBA Finals, man, because this is what we'll be discussing if they win. And that is Jalen Brunson the best free agent pickup in the history of the NBA? Because if he leads the Knicks after 50 years, Mike, of not being able to win it to an NBA championship. And remember, guys, in Dallas, he was kind of lost. Everybody thought he was second fiddle to Luka. Charles Barkley was talking about this. Listen to what Chuck says.
Listen, I said this a few years ago. I think Brunson might turn out to be the greatest free agent signing. I'm not talking about LeBron and Kevin Durant and guys like that. But I think Brunson, if he's able to deliver a championship to New York, it'll be the greatest free agent signing in NBA history. There's nobody knew he was going to be this good. I didn't. You guys. Nobody. No. When New York signed him, they didn't think he was going to be this good. He's turned them into a perennial contender. They went from never being talked about to the conference finals last year. Mm. Now they're in the finals because of Brunson. So if he's able to finish this journey, Mike, it would be the greatest free agent sign in NBA history.
Yeah, man, no disrespect to Mark Jackson, but if Pat Riley had him, imagine what the Knicks would have done in the 90s.
Right.
You could argue the best free agent in the history of New York sports since Mark Messier.
Okay.
Who was brought in to get a Stanley Cup championship.
And he did. Yeah.
You know, but there was pressure on him, as you said. He just laid it out. No one had that expectation level for this guy, and he's taken that.
And he was – you know, look, the contract was reasonable. It wasn't, you know, he wasn't making $50 million a year. He will, but right. he that's not where he was at.
And you guys, you probably spoke about it yesterday when Chris was filling in for me, but the map of Madison Square Garden on Ticketmaster and the prices.
It's nuts.
It's insane.
It is.
I mean, tickets were, I can be honest, because I used to sit there with my dad that you could, you know, you'd need binoculars to see the basketball court going for 10 grand.
Yeah.
It's insane.
New Yorkers who are Knicks fans specifically making the trip to San Antonio said with flight, hotel, and tickets to the game, it's cheaper
right,
than staying in New York and going to the Garden to watch one of these NBA Finals games. Either way, we'll see how it plays out tonight. What about Jalen Brunson, man? He was talking about the Spurs and what he expects tonight.
They come ready to play more than any other team that we faced. And so we have the utmost respect for them. We know that we got to be ready for game two. We just found a way to make plays at the end of the game.
Wemby, is it a learning experience, win or lose here, about handling his emotions, getting his head right? Because he does, speaking of wearing his heart on his sleeve.
He does.
You know, we talked about Kevin Garnett going, crying after the conference championship.
Too emotional. Too emotional.
He's got to dial it in. What about how about taking shots closer to the basket? Do you buy that? Did you feel that it was just a byproduct of him being gassed after seven games, the way things kind of played out?
Look.
Because he would hustle and swat things away on the defensive end.
Yeah. I think, for me, and we'll find out what Sam Mitchell thinks coming up here at 3 o'clock, but I look at Wemby, and I thought, and giving credit to Cat, he played really good defense. We gave a stat yesterday where Cat was on him when he was the primary defender on Wemby. I think Wemby was 2 for 12,
right,
shooting the ball. That's 2 shots made, 12 missed. That's great defense. And so he, some way, Mike, affected him. I don't know if it'll happen tonight because Wemby came out and said, look, I'm not worried the slightest bit. But I do think, and I said this, Mitch Johnson, I think, screwed this up. The substitutions, look, you have the sixth man of the year. Nobody even knows this with the Spurs.
Right.
And the kid played 8 minutes in game one. That makes no sense
whatsoever.
You lost
the script. You lost the script.
You went to De'Aaron Fox, who I get is an experienced vet, but he's not healthy and he's not playing great. Meanwhile, Harper, the rookie, is balling and they have no answers for him.
And he gave you a bounce and a buzz. That's why, I mean, we had talked about this the other day with Brian Geltzhaler about who's going to have the edge. You know, I think Mike Brown sort of, really had a big moment with the Hawks and almost looked like he could have wobbled, figured it out.
Yep.
And, of course, pivoted for Brunson to Cat in our series. But, yeah, it's a young coach that, it was the moment a little too big. You know, he'll certainly, I would think, make the correction. Spurs have to win this one. Because, you know,
it's too emotional.
It was too emotional.
That atmosphere is going to be electric at the Garden. But I want to see Wemby just takes more. I see Wemby less jump shots and take it in the basket.
If you go up, here's the deal, though, Mike, and I'll say this. We'll ask Sam about this. I got to give the Knicks defense credit. Look, we talked about this with us. They shut down all passing lanes, okay? So we talk about their length. They match up really well with San Antonio, and their bigs, they can throw three different guys at Wemby who are all physically bigger.
And Mitchell Robinson, despite the hand, was able to have an impact with his minutes. The one thing, and I will say this, had the Knicks not gone, for lack of a better word, spastic in the first, 12 minutes where they were just running around and just rushing everything. They're just trying to, they don't want to get Wemby set in the defensive set. You know, so they were just kind of rushing everything and shot selection. They were getting good looks. And they were just clanging it. They were playing hot potato with the ball. Once they kind of slowed it down a little bit, but there's no defense for Jalen Brunson making the floater and then the three when he hadn't really been hitting the jump shot, and then boom, he drops that three. It was unbelievable.
No fear, man. That he has a weak, because he's lefty. He's got this weird, I'm stepping to the basket, and then he turns the opposite way. And he hits that fadeaway jumper, and you're like, dude, there's nothing you could do about this. We'll see what happens tonight in Game 2. Sam Mitchell, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, NBA, will join us at 3. Georgia baseball begins Super Regional against Miss State tomorrow, 11 a.m. on ESPN.
Nobody's happy, including Josh Brooks, the AD, with that start time.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It does.
No, the only thing that's good for you out in Athens is, get to the bars earlier.
I mean, this is
after the game.
Yeah, but now you're the highest ranked seed.
Yeah, you should be
remaining.
In prime time.
You should absolutely. Sunday's game is at noon, but at the end of the day, does it matter? No. Dogs win, they go to the College World Series. Mike, let's discuss this here before we get Sam on, and that is we're a couple of weeks away from the World Cup. We think this is going to be very impactful, not only here in Atlanta, but around the country, all these cities that are hosting.
Right.
And Mike, 6-8 months ago, a year ago, we were talking about people visiting from around the world and all these things that were going on. And we just found out that reportedly we in Atlanta still have 65,000 to 70,000 rooms available.
Yeah.
How?
Well, I mean, the thing that you can do in Europe that you can't do here is you can do relatively inexpensive rail transportation. So you could stay in Miami and be up here on a train in 5 hours. Can't do that here in the States. We just don't have that. So I wonder if a lot of folks are going to just, it's hard to imagine somebody flying up from wherever they're staying, doing the game, and then flying back. That seems a little crazy. Unless there's two things. you know, the perception that America is a very dangerous place right now. Again, talking from a European mindset, you know, the political aspect, you know, some people are down. I don't know. It's just very strange. That surprised me, especially for Spain, because Spain is, it's like a de facto home series for them,
yes,
playing a bunch of games at Mercedes-Benz.
Yes.
And, you know, anytime that you have a Super Bowl or a World Cup, there's always some economics professor from the local college who goes, the impact is always over-exaggerated.
It's never what they say.
All right. I mean, we'll see about that. I know that, you know, Formula One has a huge impact, and they had no problem filling hotel rooms from West Palm Beach to Key West for supporting Formula One. And this is the same kind of international audience for this. So I'm very confused by this. You know,
yeah.
I'm not sure unless they're staying someplace else and they're simply – or they're doing – now, what are the numbers about Airbnb and VRBOs?
That's a good point.
Because I know friends of mine in Midtown, a lot of folks are trying to sneak the Airbnb because a lot of condos put a cap on how many places you can rent out.
That's true.
In the building.
Yeah.
And
no,
that's another – I don't know. That's the only thing I could come up with.
Look, it's fair. When we hosted the Super Bowl, we'll get another one here in a couple of years. People in the burbs, right, outside OTP, were renting their homes. And they were getting people to come in and do that. Super Bowl's unique because, it's the week build-up, the parties, et cetera. I'm not sure what this is going to look like, but I will say this. And if you haven't traveled as of late, and if you're not rich like our friend Jerry, these ticket prices to fly anywhere is expensive. And so now you're right. Telling me all these folks are coming over from Europe and you're going to be Mike, it's not a cheap trip.
And I think, you know, we saw in New York certainly the price gouging. And I can't speak to the hotel rates here in Atlantic. I didn't look for one. But you're right. Airfare is already expensive before we got into this war with Iran, which obviously is still driving up jet fuel prices and it passed it on to the consumers. So I don't know. Maybe that's the perfect storm. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Because we'll have to be man on the street because we're going to be right downtown for all this.
We are.
Excuse me. Hola, where are you staying? You know, are you staying in New York? Because, like I said, if this is where you can stay anywhere and be on a train and get anywhere in the country in a couple of hours, can't do that in the States.
No, you can't. All right, man, we're coming back. Sam Mitchell's going to join us. We'll ask Sam some of these things we're concerned about heading into Game 2. Is it a must-win for the Spurs? Does he feel that way? And why is he mad at Dukes and Bell? Find out next.